he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the dust survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I, of course, am your host, Matt Alvarez, as always, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California. Today is Friday, August 16th, 2013. How's everybody doing? It's a great, beautiful, beautiful summer day right here in Northern California. We've got some crazy stuff to talk about. I just mentioned a few things on different social sites about a rock band that has purchased a football team. Breaking news. I'm serious. Just breaking news within the last 30 minutes. Now, this is what I love. This is what I love right here. I am telling you. I was like, oh, shit. Look who has bought a football team. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that has really, really happened. I mean, hey, and also, I know we've kept you in the dark about what time this Sunday's anniversary show will be, but now we can confirm, NDB Media can confirm what that time is, and I will share that information with you later on in the show. I tell you, you know, we've got some crazy NFL news, some Major League Baseball news, and also UFC will be doing a live Q&A show as well as their pay-per-view tomorrow night, which is, you know, Saturday. That's tomorrow night. And, you know, everybody wants to know, wow, the Waite family, that's some pretty thick shit right there with the writers. But who's actually behind it? And also, yes, we know. Everybody knows. The whole damn world knows about the botched match on Raw, including Caitlyn and AJ. And, you know, different things happened with that match. And it was truly a botched match. I know everybody's giving you, you know, the first half of the story or this half of the story, and it's like, well, that's all we have. Yeah, you know, we can only give you that part of the story. Nobody wants to give you the whole story except me. I will give you the full story about what truly happened in this botched match that took place between these two ladies on Monday Night Raw. You know, and what the hell is TNA doing? If you saw Sunday's pay-per-view, then you know, and you probably were shocked when your cable provider told you, oh, the pay-per-view, there's no charge. It's a free pay-per-view. You're like, what? What did you say? TNA's pay-per-view is free? That's because there's a really, really bad inside job going on and total nonstop action wrestling TNA is, I'm telling you, they are just throwing themselves into the albatross water that everybody talks about, and they're going to drown. This is not what they're supposed to be. This is, you're not supposed to kill your own company. I honestly don't know. I can't believe this is happening. But real quickly, before we go any further, I've also got something TV related too that's gonna blow your mind out of the water. You're like, this is a sports show. This isn't. What the hell is Matt Alvarez doing? Hey, I'd like to throw the curveball at you. So if you're ready, in the words of my good friend Craig Brooks, who's probably listening right now, get your snacks ready. Get your snacks. excuse me. I know I started the show, opened the show with all that, muffling with my phone, and you're probably going, what the hell, what's Matt Alvarez doing? Well, I just, finished up eating up a Subway sandwich. Yeah, I spent my last $4 on the $4 meal deal that they have going on at Subway. So, yeah, I just finished up my sandwich as we were going live. I was like, oh, shit, my intro music's playing. Wait, I'm not done eating. But, yeah, whatever snack you have, get those ready. For the next 2 hours, you're going to be blown away. But before we go any further, I just have to say right now, to my friends at the group, got to say happy, happy birthday, a special happy birthday to the godfather of the group, Matt Akers. Happy birthday, pal. Craig or Steven, pass the word along. Please, to Matt, let him know that I said happy birthday right here live on the show. I saw that post earlier in the week, and I certainly didn't forget about it. And if it's your birthday, too, happy birthday, boy. I can't believe what has happened, what has transpired throughout the entire sports world. And, we'll get into sports, but like I said, I've got a curveball to throw at you. I know it's not sports related. But, it's got to mean something because, when they first started doing the whole A&E TV show thing and doing all these types of reality shows, well, in case you didn't hear the news, well, of course you didn't, because a lot of the news that I found before we went live is just breaking news that just released just now. It was like about 30 minutes ago that some of this was released, but it's still fresh. It's still brand new. That Trump Plaza is not apologizing for booting Duck Dynasty a staff member's mistake, had mistaken identity. They thought he was some random homeless guy just coming into their hotel room, not realizing this guy used to be on WWE for a while. He made a few guest appearances on Monday Night Raw. And also, they more than likely don't follow the A&E show that he's a part of. It's a new reality show that's been on for a while. And you would think that they would know that. But, Susan Mills, she's the general manager for Trump Plaza Hotel and Towers. She told Fox News, well, Mr. Robinson is a very valuable guest at our hotel. And so is his family. And the members of our staff, most of them, know who he is. But then they also brushed away a question about, did they really apologize to the popular television star? But she said, well, the incident's still under investigation. And then she acted like she had a phone call and just walked off. Left the media there. Left right in the middle of the press conference. Right in the middle of the press conference. But Jesse said there's no hard feelings. And his brother Al even told Fox News, well, you know, we as a family, we get a good laugh out of the mistaken identity. Al even said, well, this is not our first rodeo, but it's a challenge. This is why I choose to stay beardless. My brother's the only one that wants a beard, and nobody else, none of the other guys in the family, well, of course, our sisters can't have beards because they're not guys, but that's why he doesn't want a beard. But the men from the Louisiana family have been mistaken for homeless people many times before. One time they were in New York City, and people started putting money in older brother Will's coffee cup. They were loading up the van, loading up their equipment, about to head on the road to another location for their new reality show. And he said, well, our dad was speaking at a church, and one of the members showed him where the homeless shelter was. But they say, hey, they're not offended by the incident. And they said they love staying at the Trump Hotel. The only thing... the only thing that Duck Dynasty did say, he said, well, wait till the Trump hears about this. Of course, he's referring to Donald Trump. Oh, boy. You know, it's kind of like nowadays, you know. I know this is not sports related either, but, you know, back in the days, I'll give you a little side history about me. Here we are, years later, you're just now finding out new stuff about Matt Alvarez that will be put on the air. But, you know, when me and my crew would go around beating up people, we didn't do it because of the violence. We did it because we were protecting the people that were doing wrong. And so we made things right. But we made sure, like, for example, DDP is in our chat room. Everybody's coming into the chat room. Thank you all for joining us right here in the chat room. And, you know, let's pretend that I didn't like DDP and that he was, you know, one of the bullies that I had to deal with in school. I wouldn't just, nowadays, kids walk up to each other and, or an adult walks up to another adult and starts beating the hell out of them for no reason. But then they find out after the cops get through with them, well, I was looking for somebody, man, and I thought it was them. No, me and my crew, we would go up to you, make sure it was you, and then we'd beat your ass and throw you in a damn garbage can. That's the way it works nowadays. Make sure that it's actually the person you're going for. These staff members at Trump Plaza, they need to make sure that they're not booting, you know, Duck Dynasty out of their hotel ever again. Sure, he does look like a homeless guy with that long, long, frilly beard, but, I mean, what the hell? Come on. You know, that's DDP. I mean, I know DDP, he told me earlier on social media before we went live that, you know, he's not feeling well, so... You don't have to answer the question in the chat room, DDP, but, you know. I mean, isn't DDP, isn't that why, you know, everybody, whether it's a police officer or, like, hotel staff, they're going to ask you anyways, right? Or if you're trying to, you know, get alcohol, they have to make sure you're over 21. They always ask you for one thing that you need. Excuse me, sir, can I see your ID, please? All they had to do was ask Duck Dynasty if they can see his ID. And they would have known, well, he's not that homeless guy that was here last week. Well, duh. Before you accuse somebody of being somebody that they're not, make sure it's actually them. Don't assume. Oh, my God. What is wrong with people? Speaking of wrong, and what is wrong with KISS? This is... More breaking news from our friends at the Shutdown Corner. This time the story was written and put together, and because he found out about it, he was there live. Shutdown Corner's second senior editor writer, next to our other esteemed guest from the Shutdown Corner from Yahoo Sports, who was with us a few months ago, or a month and a half ago, something like that. Jay Bushby. He got to talk to, you know, the leaders of KISS. It's an unusual story, of course. KISS, who is a multimedia rock band, and they have their own corporate multimedia, you know, named after them. It's a Bahamas that used to be a rock band, has now gone and gotten its own very professional football team. And no, I'm sorry, DDP, it's not in Texas. I'd like to welcome guest 1664 into the chat room. And if our good friend AJ Stahl is listening, who hosts with us once in a while, no, they didn't buy a football team right there in Philadelphia, but I know you Philadelphia people love your football team. And no, it's certainly not where Eric Williams is in PA. No, they bought a football team in Los Angeles, no less. But it's not what you think. KISS has now bought a football team from the Arena Football League. But Angelonians, that's another term for Los Angeles tenants. So if you live there, if you're listening to me from Los Angeles, I love you Angelonian people. I used to be one too. Man, we used to live everywhere in California. But Angelonians, he said, can be very choosy these days, or can't they? All right, let's get the jokes out of the way. This is how it started. The team starts to play next March in Detroit Rock City. No, just kidding. No, they're going to be playing in Los Angeles. They will run a non-traditional offense, not the pistol, not the shotgun. In other words, the long and short of it is, they don't want their football team to have the kind of rules like the NFL does. And besides, arena football is much, much different than the NFL. So, the team says they will go for a deuce. They'll keep the visitors' locker room hotter than hell. Of course, the team physician, Dr. Love, said, why, of course. They don't really have a doctor called Dr. Love. That's just... If you're over 18 and you're an official legal adult like me, well, number one, if you're not, you shouldn't even be listening to this show. But if you are, then, and if you've ever seen the movie Detroit Rock City, you know that Dr. Love was taken from one of their many esteemed songs. But yeah. And no, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. This, you want to know what the team name will be called? I know it sounds like a joke, but it's not. The team will be called L.A. KISS. That's the name of the arena football team. Hey, KISS just bought the team. Kitchen bought the team. Like I said, all this news that is just coming in is still fresh. It's about, you know, 25, maybe 30 minutes old. But hey, I found this stuff before we went live. And their helmet designs are going to be amazing. And the band, as an initiative for teaming up with the Arena Football League, the league has decided to give KISS their own initiative, too, since they've purchased the team. If you're a season ticket holder for Arena Football, you get to see a private concert with KISS. Gene Simmons said in a statement, as a fast-paced, high-action band, this partnership with the AFL, a.k.a. Arena Football League, was an obvious fit for us, because he said, with arena football, you're much closer to the action. Sitting in front row is like a folding chair on the hash mark opposite of an NFL game. And it's only one of the sports where you can experience the level of intensity. Attending an LA KISS game in 2014 will be similar to a live KISS show with thrilling, heart-pounding action. Just like KISS, right? That's what he said. So do you want into this? Well, you can. You can get in on the action. There's already, I mean, like I said, this story is only 40 minutes old. It's 1:20 p.m. here in California. It was 12:30, an hour and a half ago, that I found the story. So it's still brand new. And there's already a website. Kiss is too much. I mean, for being one of the hottest bands ever, the website is LA Kiss Football. I mean, I know the guys from Monday Night Football say it all the time, but are you ready for some football? Well, you can be if you're a fan of the Arena Football League. I myself, no, I'm not a fan of Arena Football. Sorry. If you were planning on becoming a season ticket holder and you're like, you know what, Matt? Hey, Matt, we'll take you. We'll take some other people that listen to Blog Talk Radio. I think my good friend Matt Broderick and maybe my good friend DDP is in the chat room. And whoever guest 1664 is in the chat room, maybe they love Arena Football and they love Kiss. They could, you know, give them free tickets and take them with you. But not me, no. Sorry, if you love Arena Football, I'm very sorry to upset you, but I don't know. I know it's a lot closer to the action, but, you know, as Gene Simmons said, but they've got different rules, and their rules are rather confusing, if you really want to say that, but that's what I think. Now, on to real sports now, the turn of the show. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. I mean, and all this stuff that we're doing right now is appropriate for our title. I mean, I gave you guys a few curveballs. We're talking about Kiss on the air. We're talking about Duck Dynasty being booted. And they're not even sports-related. Well, the Kiss one is, because, you know, it's sports-related. They bought a football team. But the title of our show today is A New Chapter. And this is definitely a new chapter. Adding more things to the show, and who knows what else is going to happen today. Even though I'm the host of the show, I don't even know what's going to happen. I'm serious. But let's get into this. Let's see, where do we want to go here? This is where we want to go. If you saw last night, Philadelphia. I know... Damn, I know that the one and only AJ Stahl, who co-hosts with me on a random occasion once in a while, I know that he was very, very happy about last night's preseason game. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Carolina Panthers 14-9. Baltimore beat Atlanta. Cleveland Browns beat Detroit 24-6. I saw those three games. The only game I did not see, I mean, I understand people were very upset about it. DDP, I know that you had mentioned on social media, all over social media, that, you know, you were watching the game. But I didn't get it. I was the only one that probably didn't get a chance to watch the San Diego-Chicago game. Because that game was on the NFL Network, and of course, I don't get all the same channels that I had before, so I don't get that channel anymore. But, you know, most of my family, since most of my family is all spread out all over California, you know, about a third of them live in Southern California, which is all the way, it's like a 6-hour drive, but of course, you know, hey, you can get there in 3 hours. Or so I've been told. But yeah, a lot of people were down there. A lot of my family and friends had lived down there in San Diego. They were pissed off that San Diego, you know, my one cousin, he said, what the hell's up with your offense? How do you let Chicago run over your defense? And I know Matt Broderick, who lives in Chicago, I know you and everybody else in Chicago is very, very happy, even though it's only preseason. From what I've been told, it looked like a playoff game last night. It really did. Because the Bears, they won in a devastating, devastating result. They beat San Diego 33-28. Apparently, San Diego decided just to let Chicago run over them. They, you know, San Diego was like, well, Chicago just built a fucking bulldozer and we're going to get run over. So it seemed like San Diego coaching were stepping back and saying, you know what, whatever. And you're like, could you imagine being on the team and going, coach, what did you just say? And the coach would say, I said whatever, let them run us over. You want a fucking bulldozer running us over? You heard me, that's what I said. But coach, we need to win. We don't need to lose. Damn it, did you hear what I said? I said let them run us over. Am I going to coach this team, or are you? So, you know, all the players were like, well, got to do what the coach said. He's the coach. He's the boss. The coach said, let them run us over. And apparently, like I said, from what I've been told from DDP and several others, this game was just a Smash Mouth style. Even late in the third quarter, that San Diego, I heard that they didn't even try and stop the run. They let Chicago Bears pull a 4th-and-52-yard long attempt. And no, the long attempt, I know normally that's a terminology for a field goal, but no, it wasn't a field goal. They let Evan Davis run for 62.5 yards from their own 10 line, from their own 10-yard line, from 10 yards all the way down to the other 10 yards and then to score the touchdown? I mean, San Diego, I know it's only preseason, but the reason why these games were added, you know, I think that Roger Goodell, I'm pretty sure that Roger Goodell and others in charge of the NFL, I think they're starting to smarten up a little bit, not all the way by adding games, but they've smartened up just a little bit, I say only a little bit. And I'm sure that they won't admit it either, but I'm pretty damn sure that they watch wrestling. And they've seen what Vince McMahon has done, you know, to where you can only do this now, and that's your way to a world championship. If you win this way, then you're at least in the hunt to become a world champion. And now there's a lot of qualifications you must meet in order to do this. And I think the NFL has now taken that new approach. Because before, exhibition games, preseason games didn't matter. What really mattered was the preseason. But now the rules have changed since the NFL's inception many years ago. But they didn't think they would need this kind of rule, but now they do. The game is changing. It's a new chapter for everyone, not just the NFL. And you're going to find that out today. Because that's what they're doing. Now they have to qualify in certain games. Well, it used to be only certain games. Now it's every season. Every preseason game counts now. And so, hey. I know we're supposed to take a commercial break. We'll do that very quickly. Besides, I need to finish the rest of this lovely, lovely $4 sandwich. You know, I should have gotten tuna, but that's all right. I'll do that next time. And I'm sure a lot of you were confused, you know, over the course of the summer when you were like, you probably read the NFL schedule on NFL.com or like, no, I'm seeing things, right? Or like some people that listen to this show are, you know, getting up there in age, you know. I don't want to, you know, put any heat on anybody and start any trouble because of if they're having health issues. But just as a joke, you know, just a joke. What? I'm going blind. What does that say? Saturday. The NFL doesn't do games on Saturday. No, you weren't seeing things on NFL.com last month when they released the schedule. For the first time ever, the NFL will now be having preseason games, and it starts tomorrow. Games on a Saturday? Hey, college football does. See, that's the thing. The NFL is getting smarter by following, like I said earlier, I truly believe they're following WWE protocol to make their game change too. And, you know, it's also that whole thing there. To add mystique to the game, to add challenges to the game. And this is one of the new things that they're doing. For the first time ever in NFL history, preseason games will now take place on Saturday. And it starts tomorrow. Dallas will play Arizona. This is a rundown if you're a preseason fan. Tennessee will take on Cincinnati. Jacksonville will take on the Jets. Miami will take on Houston. I know DDP's ready for that one. If you're feeling up to it, DDP, if you're 100% better, get better soon. On a side note, DDP, get better, man. Take some snoop. Relax. Don't even worry about typing in the chat room, man. Denver will take on Seattle. Denver playing Seattle? Oh, boy. Sunday, to all my friends in Indianapolis, I hope you guys are ready. You guys got to play the New York Giants. I don't need to say that twice. I know my good friend Craig Brooks heard that loud and clear. And then Monday night. Monday Night Football is back, and it starts this Monday. Pittsburgh will take on Washington. Ah, wow. Washington. That's going to be a crazy-ass game. I mean it. Wow. Well, with that... Oh, wait. Hold on. We can't go to commercial yet. Not yet. See, I'm throwing curveball at you guys. It is a new chapter, right? Even right here on the Sports Opinion Show. We got one more piece of announcement to give out before we go to commercial break. And that is regarding tomorrow night, which, I hope DDP is better by then. Because tomorrow night, it's the big UFC pay-per-view. That's right, UFC pay-per-view. And their show goes live tomorrow night. Yes, it's true. I can't believe it. The world can't believe it. Because, hey, this is it. This is what's going to take place tomorrow night. People are excited about it. You know, there's gonna be a massive, huge thing. It's gonna be huge. It's gonna be wild. And for those of you that are actually going to the UFC event, remember there's gonna be a prelude press conference that you're invited to. I think you have to have special tickets for that, though. Before the pay-per-view, which will be awesome. It's going to be a Q&A session with everybody there. And yes, even though these two guys are fighting in both arenas, both in MMA, I mean in UFC and in TNA wrestling, King Mo and Rampage Jackson and Tito will be present there tomorrow night. And they will also talk about a rematch that they need to have personally in Bellator. Because Rampage Jackson says he needs to be the interim belt champion. He said he'll mention more of that tomorrow at the press conference before the pay-per-view. I wish I could go to the event live in person to hear what he has to say about how he plans to become the Bellator champion. and a lot of the card is a mix-up. It's going to be, you know, a thrill ride because remember last year, and this whole thing is also going to take place on our anniversary show. But remember when I told you guys, I told the world that for the first time ever, UFC 151 had been canceled because guys didn't want to fight other guys. Oh, I don't know if they have a fucking disease. No, not me. I ain't fighting him. I need a doctor's note or something. It's like, what? Boy, was Dana White ever pissed about that. But yeah, in some respect, it's kind of gonna be like a UFC 151 rematch almost. Keyword is almost. It doesn't mean it's actually gonna happen, but with UFC, you never know. And I don't know what else we're doing either, but we'll be right back.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep fried country bowl.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
My friend, I acted like an asshole. Did my neck.
Back right here on the Sports Opinion Show, ladies and gentlemen. Our subject today is a new chapter, and it's definitely a new chapter. So many things going on all at once. Very, very crazy. Once again, got to welcome guest 1664 and DDP into the chat room, and I thank you, wherever you are, listening live at you know, I know that some people, they like to listen to the show from awkward places, like I said 3 weeks ago and like I said last month. People are even saying, well, you know, I'm, you know, I shouldn't be, you know, emailing while I'm driving because, you know, I don't want to get in an accident. I know most people in other states, they're not going to get in huge trouble. But if you're in California, the new law here in California is, and I know DDP is going to be like, I know he's not feeling well, but he's going to try and make his way to the computer and be like, what? What the hell? Because here in California, the new rule is no texting and driving. Otherwise, the cops have a right to pull you over and give you a $150 ticket fine. That's your fine for talking on your phone. It's a stupid new law that we have here. But everybody else, they, you know, they're like, because everybody else, you guys all live in different states, and you guys are like, yeah, I don't want to get in an accident, but I'm going to send you this email. And they're emailing me from their phones while they're driving going, I'm enjoying listening to your show right now in my car. How are you guys able to listen to this show from your car? I'm still trying to figure that one out. Unless you have a special, I know what it is. Wait a minute. I know what it is. You probably have a special adapter, a special control in your car, plugged in to your cigarette lighter, and you have that plugged into your laptop, and your laptop, out of your laptop is my voice. That's some bad driving right there. Real bad. No, just kidding, but I thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is awesome. All of you are awesome. And we've got some awesome, crazy news to deliver right now. Still, a new chapter, a vicious new chapter that, you know, it's very crazy, especially when it comes to creative. Everybody says, well, you know, the Waite family, I love what they're doing. I really do. You ready for some crazy stories? Here's some crazy stories. Including a brand new story, but that was just released an hour ago as well. All this, see, I love this stuff. Do you know how I always get mad? And I'm like, you know, this story went off. Stories always happen when I go off the air. Why can't this shit happen during a show? And, well, they're happening. Finally, my luck is turning around. But anyways, everybody's been asking, you know, I love the Waite family. This is a good storyline that everybody's going on there. Yeah, who's behind that? Is that Vince? Oh, no, I bet it's Stephanie. No. And no, it's not any of the writers. You'd be surprised to find out, to learn that the Waite family is actually Triple H's pet project, and the word is that they will be receiving a big push in the future. the Wade family could even take the spot of the Shield in terms of position, and the Shield could take a step down as a result. But I don't think they really need to do that. You know, you have these two awesome behemoth teams, one being the Shield, because the Shield said, you know, believe in the Shield, believe in us, and we're taking over. We are the new face of entertainment. This is our yard. That was their way of taking the Undertaker spot. Now, the Undertaker so many things going on at once. The Undertaker is an exception in the world of wrestling because coming near the end of his days, you know, he might have probably two WrestleMania matches left in him to really, really show that he's going to step out of the spotlight sooner rather than later. But both the guys on the Shield and the new members of the Wade family, they're all guys that are very, very young. They're all 25, 26, 27 years of age. If you're going to cause them to lose positions storyline-wise, then that's going to result in a whole catastrophe of things that wrestling fans are not going to be happy or thrilled about at all. What I would do is leave the Shield on Raw, or since the Wade family is doing this thing with Kane, and we're only seeing Kane and the Wade family try and one-up each other on Raw, that's fine. Leave them on Raw. Send the Shield to SmackDown and find somebody else to take out. Because it will be far less cry to have the WWE Universe go, oh, that was stupid. I wish. Why did the writers do that? Well, if it does happen, you can thank Triple H, because he's the one behind all this Wade family stuff. And Chanel Summer recently claimed in an interview that CM Punk would be in Boston on Saturday night for UFC Fight Night 26. As I mentioned earlier, these are basically going to be rematches from UFC 151, which was canceled 2 weeks prior to Thanksgiving, where Chanel Thorn will face Shotgun Rowe. The reason why Chanel is claiming all this is because he's friends. Well, not really friends, more like an acquaintance, which means that just means that more than likely him and CM Punk have probably met each other a few times and they're starting to become close friends. So right now, yeah, they're just acquaintances. He said, I'm going to face Shotgun Rowe in the main event. And the two would head. Then he said, after UFC, me and CM Punk can head to SummerSlam together. However, there's no way that CM Punk will be able to even be at UFC for the pay-per-view, as previously announced, because if you saw Monday Night Raw, you know that a swarm of commercials happened, and a really, really bad one if you're in California. I'll mention that a little later on, how they fucked that whole thing up. But it was announced on Raw that SummerSlam access is now available for this Saturday, which means, because in the past they used to do SummerSlam access, and it used to be all day Sunday, the day of the pay-per-view, but WWE management has now changed that to where SummerSlam access will now be an all-day event on Saturday. That way they don't have to rush, you know, into the arena to get ready for their matches and prelude the matches to tell each other what they're going to do. They're just going to do SummerSlam access on Saturday, and I know a lot of my Southern California friends, they can't wait to go. Since, you know, I'll get to DDP's social media theory question that he asked me earlier in the week in just a second. But yeah, there's no way CM Punk will be able to even be there because SummerSlam is now moved to Saturday night. We all saw the commercial on Raw. And they've also scheduled CM Punk at a SummerSlam Access event from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m., which is the exact same time that the UFC show starts. Same time as the pay-per-view. sorry, pal, it ain't going to work, buddy. But it also all depends on if CM Punk is able to even get out of his access appearance for UFC. But that's highly unlikely because, sure, I know when Brock Lesnar made his official debut for UFC and Steve Austin and a bunch of other boys went there to go support him and watch his UFC match, that's what Punk wants to do for his new friend. But I don't think it's going to be possible. And also, during the commercial break, I found out some very, very interesting news. Man, I love this. Breaking news all at once on the same day. Excuse me. The Miami Herald is reporting that tickets for the Hell in a Cell that have been provided by Ticketmaster. The Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is supposed to take place on Sunday, October 27th at the American Airlines Arena in Miami. The first pay-per-view in the city since the 2010 Survivor Series. This arena was also the first SmackDown of 2013. The 2012 Hall of Fame ceremony and the Raw after WrestleMania. And they were also in Miami for The Rock's birthday celebration in 2011. But none of that really matters. The point is that the date for the Hell in a Cell, I'll say it again, if you were on Ticketmaster and you were expecting to get your tickets either today, tomorrow, or Monday in the mail, don't feel bad. I'm waiting for something to come in the mail this weekend, too. I'll probably get what I'm waiting for tomorrow. Well, actually, I shouldn't say don't feel bad because you guys are actually expecting, some of you are expecting Hell in a Cell tickets. But I'm sorry to report just now, just breaking news, that they have been delayed. Ticketmaster, for whatever reason, has delayed the Hell in a Cell tickets. I hope they don't have money laundry issues or something like that where they accidentally, what if they billed the wrong person? That would be crazy. DDP, if you get Hell in a Cell tickets mailed to you, I know it's tempting to keep them, but do the right thing. Send them back. I'm just messing with DDP, trying to cheer him up and make him feel better. And also, early this morning, Darren Young had come out with a bare hidden truth that he didn't want nobody to know for years. And he's been in WWE how long? Well, TMZ has learned that he has been in love. He has admitted to being gay, and he mentioned that on Twitter that he loves his boyfriend, Nick. They've been together for the past 2 years. All this week, he was telling the world on Twitter that I'm gay and I'm proud of it. Of course, you know, Darren Young's real name is Fred Rosser. They've been living together in Florida for a while. Young said that, well, Nick was my main reason for wanting to come out and publicly reveal all this information, but you know, people were expecting that he would get tons and tons of backlash for mentioning this because, you know, he's black and so many other ethical, territorial things because of his race and skin color. But no, that didn't happen. People are actually supporting him in this, that he came out and finally revealed what his true intentions were, and he, you know, revealed it to his family, that this is the real reason why I wanted to come to Florida. Wow, that's very bold of Darren Young to do that. Of course, some in WWE, some in the company, not the wrestlers and not the lady wrestlers that wrestle there too, The more backlash is actually coming from management. You know, Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler and, well, Jerry Lawler's not management, but, you know, other people involved. It's like, why is that your problem? Why are you pissed off about this, that he openly came out and said this? You know what I call that? I call that an abandonment of employee rights. You know, we went through this last year. And we went through this in January when the NFL blasted its very own Brett Favre for making a far statement that are somewhat NFL related, but at the same time, Brett Favre was quick to remind the NFL, I'm not on the clock. This is the off season. Chill out. In other words, what he was saying was, I'm on my own free time. I'm not working right now. We're in the off season. It's the same thing. Darren Young was in his hometown when he got caught by TMZ, and they said, we heard these reports that you've been mentioned on Twitter. This is your real Twitter account, isn't it? And he said, yes. And they, you know, hey, Darren Young had dropped the bombshell at an L.A. airport. TMZ just happened to be there, and that's how they caught up with him. They said, yeah, this is a personal thing, but I guess it's not personal now, and now that the entire world knows what I am, and I'm okay with that. But now Triple H, Vince McMahon, and others involved with management of the company now, since Vince is slowly giving control over to these new people that are, you know, slowly taking over his position and what he's doing, but he's still the boss, and he's giving them orders to either mainstay with Darren Young. They'll probably take him off SmackDown now. I know a lot of you SmackDown fans were enjoying what he was doing on SmackDown. He was recently on SmackDown 2 weeks ago on Friday Night SmackDown. But it looks like management has a serious problem with this, and they want to send him back to NXT. So what? This is supposed to be a new chapter, and this is Darren Young's new chapter. You can't go ridiculing on people that are on their own time. That would be like me telling guest 1664, oh, what are you doing here on your day off? Oh, you're here to buy all that stuff? No, you can't buy all that. Oh, you need it for what? You need it for remodeling? No, you're not getting a discount. You can't do that. Just because you work here, you get a discount. And yes, 1664 would be like, it's my day off. I choose to come in here and buy our own products for my own job. What the hell? I know that was a bad example, but you see my point. I wouldn't be able to tell anybody what to do on their day off if I'm the boss. It doesn't make sense. Why are you even going to open your mouth and address the issue further when you know damn well you have no right to do it? This is the United States of America. And if WWE management decides to throw Darren Young into the river and make him swim 100 feet home, I hope Darren Young knows that he can always use his First Amendment rights. Because it's true, this is the United States of America. And he can put them on full blast and make them look like shit. I hope WWE management rethinks this whole phase, because if they don't, other courses of action from other people, they don't like to really address the issue. Oh, but they were real quick back in the day. Remember when Billy and Chuck did the whole, you know, gay segment on WWE television? And then everybody thought that they were really gay, and Vince told them, no, play up with it. You know, make people actually think that this is real. Then they start getting interviews for this TV show and that TV show. And they just took off. They appeared on, you know, Jay Leno. I mean, he's not the host anymore of The Tonight Show. He's the host of a different show now. But then when the time came for them to get even more popular, you heard me mention the story back in 2008 when they got approached by GLAAD magazine. GLAAD magazine was like, hey, you know, welcome to our magazine. You know, we're here to ask you a few questions. Then we're going to write everything you put down in our magazine, and it will be published. And Billy Gunn and Chuck Palumbo were like, wait, you want to put what in the magazine? I never kissed him. No, that's just, we're just two normal guys. I remember what I said in 2008, that GLAAD magazine was very, very offended. So you don't like gay people? You have a problem with us? You don't like the gay and lesbian community? Well, we don't want your interview. You're not even really gay. Get the hell out of our office. And they kicked them out. GLAAD magazine literally had Billy Gunn and Chuck Palumbo escorted off their premises because they found out they weren't really there for the interview itself, that they were just playing a part. And then Billy Gunn was being escorted out the door right before the door closed. He said, hey, that's why it's called wrestling. That's why it's called sports entertainment. You should know what's real and what's fake. We just have to play it up. Damn it. Billy Gunn was pissed. And I don't blame him for that. But, you know, Vince should have known that, you know, not to do that. I hope he learned his lesson from back then. But now here's a real-life story taking place with Darren Young. And now you want to throw the book at him? Why did you come out and reveal yourself? WWE does not reveal themselves. Oh, bullshit. With this, like, you don't reveal yourself with this Total Divas show? Which is just another version, like I said last week. It's just another version of what the Diva Search was. This is their way of getting new women on there. But yet one of the women, the redheaded girl, you know she's way underage to even be on the show? I already went through this whole thing about her last week. You can go back and listen to that in the archives. All I'm going to say about it is it's bullshit that she's there and you're potentially thinking of hiring her. Ha! Ha! Vince McMahon should be arrested for underage athleticism. Trying to acquire an underage wrestler. Oh, boy. I can't believe that. this is going to be one of the more interesting shows that we've done right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I tell you. Anyway, let's get into this and run down Raw. And you know, Raw was pretty interesting. The writers have some sense of stability to keep the show going, but at the same time, they realize that they need to get themselves in a new chapter. And this whole thing has, well, it's taken off, and it's taken off with Daniel Bryan, and you know, like I said, it the writers felt that pushing Daniel Bryan to the limit would now be easier than actually pulling the rug out from under him. Of course, you can't do that. Because, A, you've already put him in the high position anyway to maybe become WWE or the world champion at SummerSlam. B, you've already had him and John Cena cut promos on each other, so it would be really, really stupid to pull the rug out from under him anyways, to drop him back down to a mid-card wrestler. And D, you can't. The match has already been set for this Sunday at SummerSlam. So they had no choice but to do it. They were like, we'll just they were trying to think of a way to piss the fans off and basically not even have this match on Sunday with Daniel Bryan and John Cena. But it's already been put out. They've already put it on paper that it will take place, that he will get his shot at the WWE Championship this Sunday with John Cena in the main event. So if it's already booked and you already told the world that this is going to happen in the main event this Sunday, things can still change. They'll probably think of a way to piss the fans off, and they'll probably have Wade Barrett interfere in the match and cause him to lose by count out or some other stupid way. But they first had to make sure that if Daniel Bryan could truly hold his own. So Wade Barrett versus Daniel Bryan, and hey. And, of course, you know, this whole thing would have taken place with Brad Maddox being the referee, but, you know, and things went on and going from there. And then Brad Maddox goes and he blindsides Daniel Bryan. The general manager of Raw has truly shown whose side he's on. Definitely on the side of Wade Barrett, I can tell you that. So this adds mystique, it adds drama, it adds new elements to the storyline going into this Sunday's SummerSlam pay-per-view. And yes, I did promise DDP, because DDP had asked me earlier in the week, speaking of SummerSlam, why does it always have to be in fucking L.A.? What the hell? I don't know, DDP. I guess Vince McMahon just loves, and he truly loves, Los Angeles, and he loves having SummerSlam in L.A. every year. Except in 2005. They couldn't do it then because there was a mass transit, you know, overlap that the authorities had to shut down some buildings in L.A. It was widespread news that went all over California. All of us heard about it. So, yeah, that was the only time they didn't do it. But other than that, I don't know, DDP. I don't understand why he chooses to have SummerSlam in L.A. every year. We need to start a petition for DDP to get SummerSlam to go to Texas. That way DDP can go to SummerSlam and go to a SummerSlam Access the day before the pay-per-view, which is what a lot of my friends will be doing tomorrow in Southern California. But your winner is Wade Barrett because, like I said, Brad Maddox blindsided Daniel Bryan, and that was a pretty quick count after he blindsided Daniel Bryan. I've never seen a quick count that fast. I'm sure Brad Maddox had a lot of practice to do in order to get that fast count to work the way it was supposed to. And, oh man, Damian Sandow versus Randy Orton. Randy Orton is the winner because Cody Rhodes got involved and started messing with Damian Sandow's Money in the Bank briefcase. They said they had to give him a new one because the other one was all jacked up from being thrown into the Gulf of Mexico. Here's another interesting storyline between two former tag team partners that tried to go for it all at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view 2 months ago. But Cody Rhodes Damian Sandow who changed all that, and shoved his best friend, his tag team partner, Cody Rhodes, off the top of the ladder, causing him to cause serious damage to his shoulder. In storyline terms, he wasn't really injured. It's just Cody Rhodes playing his part up, you know? So now all these things are coming back now to Damian Sandow, thanks to Cody Rhodes. So we'll see what happens there going into Sunday's pay-per-view. Looks like an awesome pay-per-view so far. The Great Khali and Natalya versus AJ Lee and Big E Langston. This match really didn't go anywhere. You know, it was one of those planned moment. Like, really? Really? Oh, really? Well, whatever. And nobody cared. I mean, and, you know, where the hell did Hornswoggle come from? I mean, Hornswoggle is back on television. And of course, you know, I mean, hey, anyways, your winners are the Great Khali and Natalya. Kane took on Titus O'Neil. Kane is the winner. Then, of course, after the match, the Waite family. Like I said, the writers, it took them long enough to finally give the Waite family members names, because they just had Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler saying, just tell the world that the Waite family's coming. The Waite family's coming. But they didn't even have first names for all three of these guys until now, until last Monday Night Raw. So this Monday night, they're like, oh, here comes Bray Wyatt. Jerry Lawler can finally react to Luke Harper. He's like, oh my God, look at Luke Harper. Here comes Eric Rowan. I'm like, yeah, well, now they have names. And this match is, you know, it's they're trying to confuse you, but don't worry, don't buy into it. Because Michael Cole is an idiot when he said, ladies and gentlemen, the ring will be surrounded by fire. This is not an Inferno match. Nobody's going to be set on fire. Okay, why the hell would management tell Michael Cole to say that? To tell us, the fans that are watching on television, that. I mean, talk about starting a new chapter. I think Vince McMahon is, well, he has been losing his mind for years. It is time for a new leader to step up. I mean, I know that leader, that new leader is Triple H, but I mean, come on. You just told the world on Monday Night Raw, it will be a fire match. But no, there will be fire surrounding the ring. But this is not an Inferno match. Which means nobody will get set on fire. Oh, that was really, really stupid, pathetic commentary by Michael Cole. Who's actually getting the rule to commentate and make that kind of commentary from Vince? Vince is the one telling everybody, and Triple H and all these other people that work backstage, tell the fans that this and this will not happen, even though we are going to have fire surrounding the ring. That just sounds amazingly stupid. So it is an Inferno match between Bray Wyatt and Kane. Because remember, 3 weeks ago, Kane said, I'll reveal what I have in store for you at SummerSlam. And this time, your family, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, will not be able to even save you. But Bray Wyatt starts laughing and starts having this hideous, hideous look on his face. So is Kane really the devil's favorite demon? Well, you have to find out and watch the pay-per-view on Sunday. Alberto Del Rio took on Kofi Kingston. Alberto Del Rio is the winner. And even though, no, there was no Ricardo Rodriguez at ringside or anything, this is also another friendship that's gone down the toilet. But I'm pretty sure it's a safe bet that Ricardo Rodriguez is more than likely going to cause Alberto to lose the title somehow, since he is the world champion. Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro took on the Usos. And this was a great back-and-forth match. You know, you had, you know, Swagger and Jey Uso, they tagged in. This was right before the match. They did a double tag to each other. And the Usos, they did a double Samoan drop. They are certainly learning the true craft from their father, Rikishi. Yes, former WWE star Rikishi. That is their dad. And he's teaching his sons a lot. So, hey, keep teaching them more. That double moonsault by two Samoans on one Jack Swagger was awesome, and they even gave one to Zepp Coulter, who, well, I'm sure he's still in it now. Oh, my ribs. Oh, Fandango versus R-Truth, but, well, it actually wasn't really a match. It was more like a dance competition. And they just went out there just to dance and all that shit. And I don't know, it didn't really make sense. Oh, well. Then, anyways, you had a number one contender, Battle Royal, a 20-man over-the-top rope Battle Royal. The winner will face Dean Ambrose for the United States title this Sunday at SummerSlam. Of course, in the pre-show, which means, see, they did it again. They took the Intercontinental title off the main pay-per-view. They promised the world that eventually the Intercontinental title is going to be on the main pay-per-view. But no, they stepped back and they've changed their minds again. This will be a pre-show match, which means you have to watch this match on YouTube before they go live on pay-per-view. And, you know, things happened and I couldn't believe it. RVD won by cutting off Ryback and using the Rolling Thunder, and then I've never seen Rob Van Dam do a spear before. Not even when he was in ECW, he never, ever used a spear. Talk about an awesome, awesome killer match by Rob Van Dam, Mr. Monday Night. Oh, yeah. And, you know, also with that collie thing, you know, they were trying to be punked out. But who would come to Collie's aid and Hornswoggle's aid? The Big Show is back, too. So a lot of people are coming back that were had to take personal time away or were on the injured list. So the Big Show is back. He signed a new 5-year contract. I'm still working out the details to find out how much he's actually been paid to come back for these next 5 years. And CM Punk versus Paul Heyman. They tricked each other. It just became one of the more fascinating ways to see Paul Heyman in a new light and a new chapter, if you will. And it was like, wow, Paul Heyman is actually in a match. I can't believe that. But hey, you know, I tell you, all the hot weather here in California, I'm pretty sure it's hot as hell in DDP's neck of the woods in Texas. I'm not too sure about anybody else. I'm not even sure about guest 1664, who's with us. Thank you very much for being here. But there has to be at least a piece of change, because, you know, after the whole Paul Heyman and CM Punk deal went sour, I think sour. Other than that, it was a good Raw, a very good Raw, because right after that, Raw did it again. Well, I should say not Raw, Vince McMahon did it again. They went way over their time slot. They didn't end the show. You know, if we all look at our TV guides and go back to Monday, it would tell you, it tells you every week, that they made a deal many years ago with whatever station they were working with that we need the extra 5 minutes because, you know, we want to be cutting edge, and something always happens at the end or near the end of those 5 minutes of the show. That's why Raw doesn't end at 11 p.m. It's supposed to end exactly at 11:05 p.m. But if you were watching your clock, and I don't think any of you were, but I noticed for me here in California that Monday Night Raw did not go off the air until 11:45 p.m., which means it took them a whole 45 minutes to put all this together and figure out who's actually doing what and who's coming out. And, yeah, it's just... it's funny the way they work things out. But seriously, going into this Sunday's SummerSlam pay-per-view, a lot of talk has been thrown down, and people are saying this and saying that, and will John Cena lose the WWE title? Some people are saying, well, they want him to. They want him to lose the title that way. You know, he has to get surgery on his elbow anyway. He's been wrestling with a messed up elbow since March. And, well, I found that out this week. And as I found out over the course of last weekend and leading up to today, I finished my final research. I finished that shit. I do all my final research for all my shows every Wednesday, and that's the last day I do it. And I was like, oh, really? And that's when I found out about John Cena. The guy that only has 3 moves and no mobility. I don't even understand why people are cheering him. I know he's the new face of the company right now. But when I read that on Wednesday, I said, really? Really? John Cena has an injury, a serious elbow injury, that could possibly take him out of the game for maybe 1 full year, maybe 2 full years. Good. That's good. Get him out. Tell him he's got to take surgery. And the only way to do that is to actually take the belt off him. That's why the writers were working so hard to find out who could we legitimately have take his place and take his spot. There's a lot of them. You know, because, hey, I'm sure you've noticed that Randy Orton's thrown his Money in the Bank briefcase for John Cena's title in his face, and he said on Monday Night Raw that, hey, don't think I won't cash this in on you on Sunday night at SummerSlam. If I do, you'll never be champion again. Because Randy Orton's time has once again come. But then you've got the Daniel Bryan factored in there. So they're working all these details out to see what would be the best possible way, the safest way, without injuring their it factor star, which is John Cena. Like, that's our main guy. We've got to do something to keep him safe. Well, fine. You really want to keep him safe? Ah, I hate giving suggestions, especially for John Cena. Actually, only for John Cena. Me and all my other friends want him out. We want him gone forever, never to return. But I'll help you out with this one idea. Easy, just, you know. Just have Randy Orton interfere in the match on Sunday. Have the referee back turn and, you know, have the referee try and, you know, look like he needs to restrain Daniel Bryan for no reason at all. And then Randy Orton can throw his uninjured arm, his free arm, into the steel steps and even use the briefcase as a weapon, have John Cena sell the new fake injury on his other arm, in good arm, and then have Randy Orton throw him back in the ring. Daniel Bryan can cover his ass, 1, 2, 3, and Daniel Bryan will become the champion. And then if you decide, you can have Randy Orton cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase on Daniel Bryan right then and there. something, anything without actually hurting John Cena's already injured elbow for a while. I can't believe he's been wrestling with that since March. That's because they were trying to figure a way to get him off television. Well, you've thought of other ways to get other people off television just for the hell of it, either because you didn't like them or, you know, some people say that Vince McMahon is not racist. Yeah, right, that's not true. He damn sure had a track record for being racist. That's Vince McMahon's M.O. He loved that. He gets high off of it. Not high drug-wise. He doesn't do drugs. But then again, well, I don't know about that either. But within the last couple, 3 minutes here before we take our final commercial break, you know, everybody wants to talk about the whole botched match thing between, you know, Caitlin and AJ. And why the referee didn't ring the bell. See, there was a lot of misconceptions with that one match on Raw. And everybody said, oh, fuck, what the hell? This should never happen in wrestling. Never, never, never. And, you know, it's getting attention. It's getting major attention. But at the same time, it really shouldn't matter. And here's what WWE referee Jimmy Corderas had to say. He said, yeah, I did watch the match. And I did make a comment on Twitter about it. And it was more tongue-in-check as I, in my Twitter comments, try to make them light and whatnot. I really don't have a doubt in my mind that the one part in there on Mark Harrison's Facebook, when he refed to the former unemployed ref was directed, I think, towards myself, but I could be wrong, unless another former ref commented that I didn't see. If he was directing it towards me, contrary to popular opinion, I am employed. I do have a job, actually. It's not just reffing in the WWE, you know. The social media thing, I think it's gotten out of hand. I couldn't agree with you more, Jimmy Corderas. And people are using it for the wrong purposes. I agree with that statement, too. In this situation, however, regardless of whose fault it was or who's to blame, or who the blame was, obviously a messed up finish to that match. Sometimes you just go stick it up and say, hey, chalk it up to experience and learn from it and move on. But one of the biggest things you have to do in this business, Jimmy Corderas said, especially from a referee standpoint, is be able to take criticism and know that everyone is going to like you. Not everyone is going to like you. It's just the way it is, he said. And if you can't take constructive criticism or a little playful ribbing or anything like that, and you have to lash out on social media, maybe this business isn't for you. So, back to the whole botched match thing with Natalya and AJ. And they said it wasn't the mix-up that happened. It was the reaction that occurred from it. If he was decisive in his call, regardless of what he called, that would be fine. But he looked confused, and that's what amplified the situation. But Natalya, she let go of the sharpshooter too early. Or either that or AJ tapped a little late. I don't know what you want to call it. But the ring, obviously, but at the same time when Mark motioned for the bell, for some reason the bell didn't ring. Obviously, I can't speak to as to why it didn't ring. But everybody looked emphatically calling for the bell or motioning. No, this match continued, but there is no emotional reaction whatsoever. So that led to more confusion. Plus, it doesn't help when you've got two guys on commentary who you know are going to rip into you, which would be, he's talking about Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler. It's more Michael Cole anyway. Because, hey, that's really what they do. That is their MO. Okay? Their anti-philosophy is, well, gee, we need to do this right, and, but no, wait, we, no, oh, no, we just did it wrong. Well, duh, of course you did it wrong. Let me guess, Stephanie McMahon booked this match by way of her own fault? Because if she did, then... You know, how did this work? I apologize right now. I got to quickly apologize to Couch and to Zeke. I guess something's happening with the Blog Talk Radio chat room. Couch and Zeke, they said they're in the chat room. Couch Potato's like, hello? Don't you see me? What the hell? Sorry, guys. I don't know. I know that Guest 1664 and GDP are in the chat room. It just popped up. I apologize. I don't know. That's Blog Talk Radio chat room for you, though. That's Blog Talk Radio all over the place for you. I apologize, guys. I don't know what's going on here. But yeah, you know, Mark Eaton is the timekeeper. You know, what's his name? The one that does the announcing, Justin Gabriel. He's actually supposed to be the lead, you know, person to ring the bell. He's the one that rings the bell when he's over there. So was there some animosity of finding out, well, wait, no, the match continues. No, the match has to end. Talk about a botched match. This was truly a botched match because everyone accidentally, they let the match go on for 10 full minutes. The girls had a 10 full minute match, Natalia and AJ. Because, hey, Vince McMahon only likes to give his women wrestlers, give them 2 or 3 minutes and then pull them off TV. Why do you even have women employed if you only want to give them 2 or 3 minutes to wrestle? Don't you want certain stories to come out and become unfolded by your stupid, pathetic writers? But hey, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm glad that they went on and made this botched call that accidentally extended their match 10 minutes beforehand because nobody knew what to call. Sure, he's a new referee that reffed that match. So I was like, oh, here comes a new referee. When he came out, before the two ladies even came out, Natalia came out, and then here came AJ, and then he rang the bell. But then when he stepped over to Natalia, Jerry Lawler was like, hey, she's tapping out. But then did you notice right after that, there was no commentary until the match actually finished? That's because, in secret formality, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler have been forced to mute their microphones and get their information to Mark Eaton, the timekeeper, and to Justin, who rings the bell, that Vince said in the match, tell AJ to tap out the way she's supposed to. So Michael Cole stands behind, you know, the one camera guy that's always on the ring apron, right there by them, because he's shooting into the ring. Michael Cole, behind the camera guy, gets up on the top turnbuckle and shows this note to the referee and to Natalya. That's why Natalya got back down for a third time, and she got real close to AJ so she could actually communicate. Vince wants you to tap out. He says you missed it. Just sell the move. Sell the move right now. They want to do it right now. Hurry, hurry, hurry. As she starts tapping and Natalya starts pulling on her and wrenching her arm back to make it look like she's really hurt. And then the referee, then he was like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to ring the bell. I know you're a new referee, but damn. How long have you been a referee? What independent company did they pick you up from? Jeez. You should know when to call the matches. You're the referee. And I know most people say, well, it's up to the timekeeper and the person ringing the bell. But wrestling is also the big, big part of wrestling. It's to let the main guy call the match, and that is the referee. That is the referee's job. Because he has to fool the fans anyways, especially in tag team matches. You know, because Jim Ross, when Jim Ross used to be on commentary, he'd be like, oh, no. The referee didn't see the tag, damn it, and he's not going to allow it. Because that's his role, to pretend to turn a blind eye. But this was unintentional. It was a damn mistake on his part. I hope he has learned, and I hope he has chalked that up to experience. And so are we. We have lots of experience right here on the Sports Opinion Show. When we come back, we've got other things to talk about. I've got that information for you on what time our anniversary. I know I kept you guys in the dark for a long, long time. I was like, well, we're going to have the details on what time we want the show on. Trust me, we have a time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network. Hey everyone, Matt Alfred's here. I can't believe it's already anniversary time. Anyways, let me shut up and let me introduce you to what will take place on our special anniversary show on August 18th.
And now four of those guys, you know, started this restaurant. It's a nice looking restaurant in Florida. If you're in the Florida area, I'm sure you've seen it. For those of us like myself, and I'm sure nobody in the chat room needs to raise their hand, but I will. I'm the only one that hasn't been out of state, okay? I've never been to Florida. I can't imagine being in Florida in person. In person, walking into a restaurant with a picture of Roger Goodell's face, and on the picture it says, "Do not serve this man." It's all over the restaurant. I mean, I was checking out pictures of this on Yahoo yesterday. I was like, dang. Well, because they took the New Orleans Bounty case to a new level, so did these former players, and they started this restaurant, and he's not allowed there. Roger Goodell is not allowed in this restaurant because UFC President Dana White said that light heavyweight champion John Jones declined to fight Chanel soon, whom he proposed as a replacement for Henderson. That would have kept the show alive. But White said when Jones wouldn't agree, he had no choice. But in case you were getting ready and getting all set for next Saturday, you can screw next Saturday. Because furthermore, UFC 151 is now canceled. There will not be a UFC 151 pay-per-view next Saturday.
There you go, fans. Be sure to join us on August 18th. This will be the anniversary show that you will not want to miss. We are going to take a look at everything. This is just a small taste of what you're going to hear on the August 18th anniversary show spectacular. Don't miss it.
Show. Who's ever calling in from area code 323, hang on. I know you've been holding on for a long, long time. Hang on, I'll be with you in just a minute. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is true. You heard it. You heard the commercial. And I know we've kept you in the dark for all this time. And me and the owners of this channel, IndieV Media, you know, we finally came to terms on an agreement with time. We will be live Sunday. This Sunday, for the anniversary show right here at 2:30 p.m. this Sunday. And then, you know, hey, another two-hour show on Sunday with the anniversary show. And then right after that, if you choose to see, you know, WWE SummerSlam, go right ahead. Go right ahead. There we go. We got Speculation Sports, Gangster Sports. Now I can see everybody in the chat room. I don't know what's going on with the chat room, ladies and gentlemen, but sorry about that. Oh, I know who's calling in. His name just showed up. Never. I'll get to him in just a second. He can wait. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, with who I'm about to bring on the phone lines right now, I don't even know what I'm going to say. But I know what I'm going to say. Since I know this phone call with him is going to take up the rest of our time. Anyways, let me just say that we're not going to run down Impact Wrestling. We only got 10 minutes left in the show, but it was a bad, bad show last night. And also, did you know that this past Sunday, in case, like I said at the top of the show, you were probably wondering, well, why did my cable provider tell me that I'm not going to be charged for TNA pay-per-view this past Sunday? That's because they don't know what the hell they're doing, DDP. They gave away the pay-per-view for free. DDP, you need to take over that company. Let's get to the phone line. Roger, how you doing?
Matt Alvarez. Congratulations, Matt Alvarez. 6 years on the radio, buddy. Far be it for me to take time away from your program. I had to call in, and I had to congratulate you and thank you, Matt. Dude, 6 years. Way to go, buddy. Way to go, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, thank you very much, Roger, because, hey, I want you and everybody else to know that you got to listen in this Sunday because it'll be a pre-taped show, of course, and you might hear your own name being mentioned. You're going to definitely hear your own voice. Roger, your voice is in there at least a few more times than once, I think.
Fair enough.
You're probably like, what do you mean you don't know? You should know. You're the one putting it together.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a big surprise. It is, so.
Matt, I'm looking forward to it so much so that I want to also announce that for your anniversary program, NDBmedia.net is up, and the first blog entry is for your program today and for Sunday. So we're going to highlight that, and like I said, you were the first one to join us, Matt, 3 years ago, and we've never looked back, and it's been a lot of fun. I look forward to it. I can't wait to see what's going to happen, Matt. And I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be there. But, you know,
cool.
I direct this to Matt's audience. Matt takes so much gruff from the big dog and from me on Saturdays, and he's still there. He takes it like a man, you know, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to mess with Matt. Because he's just really easy to get along with, and it's a thrill to have you on with us, Matt. And I just want to tell you, dude, congratulations. I'm jazzed. It's on ndbmedia.net. It's going to stay there, just you, for a while, and it's going to be a lot of fun, dude. I can't wait till Sunday.
Yeah, well, I can't wait either.
All right.
It'll be
buddy.
Awesome.
Yes, it is. And I just wanted to get in because I know you still have 10 minutes left. I'm not going to take the rest of your program because I just talk. So I'm out, Matt. Take it easy. All right.
All right. Take care, Roger. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Matt. All right. We'll see you.
All right. Goodbye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. You have it. You heard it from the owner of this channel, NDB Media, the guy himself, Roger Nobriega. But, yeah, it's true. Hey, you know, after the show, check out ndbmedia.net. He said they've got a big highlight for this weekend about me on there. Awesome. Wow. I didn't expect that. Didn't even know they were going to do that. They don't even know what the hell I'm doing for the anniversary show. Nobody knows. But you have to tune in this Sunday for the pre-taped anniversary show because, like I said, you might hear your own name. I mean, I've literally... Oh, coffee's in the chat room. Oh, Now that the show's about to be over, see, Roger, you must have magic powers because now the chat room starts working. I apologize to those of you earlier who were like, damn, what the hell? I'm here in your chat room. Can't you see me typing? I know Coffee tried to communicate with me in the chat room, and so did Couch Potato. Speculation Sports, I'm very sorry that the chat room is, you know... Wait, what? No. Speculation Sports. No, that's not correct. Coffee is not a BTR troll. Coffee is a true person. He's a real life person. He's not a he's not a fake person. He's not a robot. Coffee is the man. Oh, Coffee, you stupid bastard. Coffee said I was playing Medal of Honor. You should get the EA Humble Bumble. The EA Humble Bumble Packet. Yeah, I know it's tough to say. It's awesome. He said you can get 8 games for $4.80. $4.80. Coffee, that is awesome. Where'd you get it at? I need to check it out. You probably went to GameStop again. No, Speculation Sports. I'm serious. Coffee is not a robot. He's a real person. He comes into my chat room all the time. He's here for all the shows. Oh, you bought it online. Yeah, well, there's no way I can do that, Coffee. All right, speculation sports. All right, but yeah, you know, it, like I said, you got to tune in. Just a little hint. Coffee, DDP, Matt Broderick, NDB Media, and plenty of highlights on the anniversary show. How much though? You just have to tune in and find out. Everybody is on blast. I made everybody famous. Everybody knows who you guys are now. The world is going to find out exactly who all these people are this Sunday. And I can't begin to tell you that I had mentioned right before Roger called in that, hey, you know, last night Mike Tenay came back and he commentated with Taz. The BFG series, Tito Ortiz showing up. I mean, just an hour before the show, that's when I had walked down with one of my neighbors who lives down the street from me here, and that's why we walked the subway together. That's why when the show opened up and you heard me making all that noise, that was me chewing on eating my Subway sandwich, my $4 meal. That was my last $4 too, damn it. But it's like, why did Tito show up and do all these things that he did last night? I said, because. Dixie Carter thinks that it's a smart reason, and it is. It's kind of a smart reason to bring in guys from the MMA world. I was talking with a high school friend of mine on social media. He's like, oh, I can't believe Tito Ortiz is here. Why are they really here? What's going on with him and all these other UFC guys? Well, that's because, hey, she's letting them. She really is. Dixie Carter is letting. I mentioned this 3 weeks ago. Coffee was here. DDP was here. I know Guest 1664 was not here, but I will mention it again. That the only reason that all these MMA and Bellator fighters and everybody's coming into TNA, it's because she's giving them permission. How many jobs or bosses do you know will let you go? That would be like Roger Noriega letting me, you know, work on, like, I'm a part of this network. I'm employed with this network, but what if I found somebody else? Or what if Roger Noriega himself said, well, you work for us, but you can also work for this other network. That's fine. Okay, cool. That's what Dixie Carter is doing. She's letting them both wrestle in both arenas. But, you know, it pisses everybody off, and it pisses me off, because 2 weeks ago, Sting said, we have a great, great wrestler, and he's going to march right down that ramp, and he's going to join the main event mafia, and he's going to help us take out Aces and Eights. And it's going to start tonight. And when he said a great wrestler, everybody thought that he was talking about maybe it was going to be Lex Luger. He said wrestler. But they just didn't want nobody to know that it would be Tito Ortiz and all these other guys coming in. And when Tito walked out, the crowd was booing. They know that Main Event Mafia is a good guy group. They're not bad guys in the world of wrestling, especially on TNA television. They were booing the motivation behind Tito Ortiz. Yeah, he's a wrestler, but not in this arena. He's a different kind of wrestler in the MMA world, in the UFC world. Well, this is one of the deals that Dana White and Dixie Carter worked out. But if you're employed with a Vince McMahon company, you're only committed to them. You have to commit to them. Vince will not let you wrestle for anybody else, let alone working at a MMA, UFC combat company. He's not going to let you work both arenas. Now, if you notice over the last few years, he's letting the guys incorporate the MMA style into their storylines. But other than that, Vince McMahon, What? You want to wrestle and work for Dana White? No, you can't. If you do, if you walk out of here, that'll be the last thing you ever do. Because I will tell you to your face, you're fired. That's Mr. McMahon's MO if you go anywhere else. Because you have to stay 120% committed. But Dixie Carter, on the other hand, hey, she's flying things out. Not only that, she also is wasting a ton of money by having this past Sunday's pay-per-view be free. Is Bound for Glory going to be free? I don't know what else is going to happen with her. I'm telling you, by the end of the year, they're probably going to be out of business. And we're out of business because we're out of time. Be here Sunday.
Heading to the top rope. And he's in it. Frog splash. Frog splash. Come on. Get it. Do it. Two. Yes. And it's a miracle. It's serious.
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so now what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, and please don't edit this out, I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.